Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house, 8 o'clock.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio, the only WrestleMania podcast in wrestling. I'm your host.
What? The purple light has fallen over this arena. Wait a minute. Look.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
Look up there.
This is awkward. You're not dead anymore. You're actually back.
Surprise, bitch. I bet you thought you'd seen the last of me.
What brings you back, man?
Well, much like The Undertaker, I have decided to only do podcasting once a year at WrestleMania. So I'm back.
Wait, just once a year?
Just once a year. I come back at WrestleMania now. That's my whole gimmick. I'm like The Undertaker.
Nah, you're better than that. You should stick around if you can.
Yeah, I'll stick around. I'll also do it every week, too, as well. For now on, I'm back on a regular basis.
That was surprising.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the number one Brock Lesnar podcast in all of Death Valley. I'm your host, Parker, joined as always by new co-host, Jason Razorman Frizzman. How are you, Razorman Frizzman?
It's good to be back in what's comfortable, I guess. So, yeah, welcome back, dude.
Thanks.
Was a hell of a long time, seemed like.
Yeah, it seemed very long for me. I was just sitting at my desk at work, just thinking about the things I would say if I was podcasting.
Yeah.
That were non-movie related.
What sounds you would drop were you podcasting?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. A lot of damn, son, where'd you find this?
Mm-hmm.
Real trap shit. Parker Bowman. Yeah, how's it going with the work stuff?
It's going all right.
Good.
That's all.
All right. We should mention that we're joined here today by a special guest from Kissing Contest, Mike Dick.
Oh, hello. Hey, what's up?
How are you, Mike Dick?
I'm pretty good. I'm over here on the East Coast, surviving.
It's pretty late in the day for you.
I know. It's 3 p.m. already here.
That's pretty good. That's a prime podcasting time, I feel.
Yeah, it's okay. It's weird. I don't know if I've ever podcasted at 3 p.m. on a Saturday. Actually, we just did our Reality Madness episode, shameless plug, and we recorded that one last Saturday, and that was the first time in a very long time that I've also podcasted this early in the day.
When do you usually record?
Usually weekday nights.
Oh, right on. Okay.
Yeah.
And when will you guys be doing that episode where you record at like 6 in the morning?
I don't know if that'll ever happen. There's a lot of like solid Kissing Contest theme ideas that we just haven't gotten to. We also planned on doing a Saw marathon, like back to back to back to back to back to back, and then podcasting immediately after the Saw marathon, but we haven't been able to get that together either.
That would be pretty good. I think you guys first mentioned that on like episode 7 or something, so I'm still waiting for that.
Yeah, it's been a long time since we've been trying to put that one together.
Speaking of podcast segments that will come to fruition, listener Jameson suggested that we do a segment where we review Vietnamese food or Southeast Asian food. So I have one of those that I would like to do real quick before we get into WrestleMania.
Okay.
I went to a place called Trish Vietnamese Cafe and Deli.
Oh, gotcha. So this is playing into wrestling then with Trish Stratus. Is that it?
Yeah. That's why I went there. They have a cardboard cutout of her boobs.
Great. That's excellent promotion for a Vietnamese restaurant.
Mm-hmm. And I went there and I had the Vietnamese sandwich, which I didn't know going in what was going to be on that sandwich. And mostly it was carrots. So that was weird.
Yeah.
And I think there was also some pork on there and like some white vegetables that I don't know what they were, but they might have been onions, but they were like super hard. So I don't think they were onions.
Might have been a radish. Yeah.
Could have been. Not a fan of radishes. But
so is this a place near work? What made you go to seek out this restaurant? Was it just Jameson's comment or?
Yeah, I want to please Jameson. First and foremost.
Who doesn't? I mean, he's great.
He's so affable.
You didn't get one with sardines on it, though? You just went for the pork?
Yeah, I didn't know that sardines were an option.
I think it's they put sardines. It's some gross fish. I don't know.
Well, that's gross.
Yeah.
I would prefer not to have that. Maybe I won't go back. But the Vietnamese sandwich was pretty all right. It came in two halves. I put sriracha on the one half because I've never had that.
Oh, of course. Oh, you never had sriracha?
Well, not in non-potato chip form. I've had it in potato chips.
Right, right. Pringles, right?
Yeah, I had those Pringles. But it was a good sandwich, although a lot of carrots on it. The main ingredient, I feel, was carrots, which I don't think makes for a good sandwich usually, but it all worked out. I think the sriracha evened it out. So I would say go to that place if you're in the neighborhood.
Yeah, me too.
I'm flying out tomorrow just to eat there.
Hey, Jason Frisbee, do you have a place in your neck of the woods? Because I know you live in some general part of the South or something like that.
Yeah.
Do you have a cookout franchise near you?
I used to. When I was in North Carolina, I lived near one. I think on some of the earliest episodes of Pool Party Radio, when I was still in North Carolina, I talk about it. It's amazing. It's. I mean, if you can get past some like the religious text that's on like all the packaging, it's incredible.
Oh yeah. Because I always see the sign on like people post on the internet where it's like $5 for like the most gigantic meal.
Here's what the menu looked like when I first went there. It was a burger platter. You'd always get the platter. You had to. It was just a rite of passage or something, and it would come with two sides. So the burger itself it's like this fresh ground beef and everything there, they pride on themselves being fresh and, you know, visibly and texturally, it seems that way. So it's like a half or like a quarter pound burger. And the two sides would be like kind of normal shit, like French fries or onion rings. And, you know, tater tots is usually as far as some restaurants go to get like weird, right?
Yeah.
This place would be like, well, how about a corn dog for a side or a quesadilla?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw the quesadilla thing and I was like, man, this place is either really or really awesome. So I have to ask somebody who knows.
It was, I guarantee you, no joking on this one. It was really awesome. They also had a thing called a bacon wrap as a side. Like they're making no bones that, you know, they just took a really healthy thing, a really healthy concept with a very unhealthy thing. It was like, let's just put bacon inside a tortilla with a piece of lettuce and some mayonnaise.
Wow.
It was like a. They don't even try to dress it up with tomato or anything. Like, it's like a wrap BLT. I'm like, nope, fuck it. You want bacon and we're giving you a handheld version of that so your fingers don't get greasy. That was like one of the sides. So yeah, man, you should, that might be like the fast food equivalent to Snack Chat.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go check that out someday. Okay, enough sidetracking, guys. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that was our segment that is tentatively called the Spice Channel.
That's good.
Because Vietnamese food is spicy, you see. All right, let's talk about WrestleMania. That's why we're all here.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
How excited, before we dip into the actual WrestleMania, how excited were you guys before WrestleMania to watch WrestleMania? Were you amped up?
I was pretty excited. I'm usually pretty excited, but this was also the first year where like we invited our friends over and they actually came over to watch it, because usually they're just like, you know, wrestling stupid. But I think us incessantly talking about it for like 3 years on the podcast and everything have like made our friends more, I guess, more acceptable to watching wrestling. So like, it was pretty sweet to actually have like a Super Bowl style party for WrestleMania for once, instead of just like three dudes watching it, like eating fast food.
Yeah, that's always the saddest way to do it. That's like the only way I've ever done it, is like just ordering a pizza and just watching it with like one guy.
Yeah, yeah. So it's pretty sweet in that aspect, at least.
That's what about good. You, Parker? Were you amped for it? Or
I was pretty amped for the first time in years, because this is like the first time that I've actually watched wrestling regularly. And so I like actually like knew about what was going on, rather than like just hearing like on some dumb blog that it was going to be like John Cena versus The Rock and then a bunch of other dudes I like never heard of. Mm-hmm. So I was pretty amped up. I didn't have a party. Although I do agree that talking about wrestling makes other people like wrestling, because those illogical contraption guys seem pretty obsessed with wrestling now.
They now have a wrestle chat segment on their show.
Yeah.
So. Those
bastards.
But yeah. What about you, Mr. Frisbee? Were you stoked on WrestleMania?
Not exactly. I was basically doing the Cliff Notes version of it. Like, well, the Bleacher Report actually stopped doing this really awesome listing of matches and stuff. They do like a kind of like an IGN review style thing where they pick out the top segments and just do a video recap without even any clips from the show. So I was, you know, I didn't have a way to keep up as I usually have. So I had the general idea of what storylines they were running and what to expect. And since the last pay-per-view, like, not a lot really changes for the television events that I've seen. It's, I mean, they may have like a title switch or something every so often, but it's never really as like climactic as it is during these pay-per-views. So I wasn't excited going in, but once I started watching it, I was getting more excited, because they were doing a lot of strong matches on this one, I thought.
Strongmen matches,
yeah.
That's what we call them in the industry.
Yep.
All right, well, WrestleMania starts up, and it's Hulk Hogan coming out. And were you guys pumped to see Hulk Hogan? What did you think about this whole thing?
Oh, yeah, I totally forgot about this part. The first 30 minutes is just like dudes patting each other on the back. So fuck that noise. I was done. I skipped a lot of this, actually.
I'm a true fan, so I watched the pre-show with the tag match.
Oh, yeah.
And the tag match was pretty good. But the Hulk Hogan thing was like, once that glass broke, man, I was like, oh, Stone Cold is going to come out and stun him, and it's going to be the greatest thing I'm ever going to see in my life. But unfortunately, Stone Cold just showed up and like saved the segment, because they really need to stop using Hulk Hogan. Like, he can't even string like two sentences together. Like, even the two sentences he strings together make no sense. Like, he's just saying like, let me tell you something, brother. And then he just like will say something about the WWE network and then go back into some other thing about brothers. And it's just like, it's horrible. So I'm glad they had Stone Cold and then, of course, The Rock come out and like, because like The Rock and Stone Cold aren't that young either. And they just made him look like the oldest grandpa in the ring. So,
yeah, Hogan is getting very forgetful in those publicized shoots. It, like, he called the arena by the wrong name or something, and he stopped himself. It was just like, oh man, it was like a, you know, a grandpa talking up there.
Yeah.
So you have like forgetful Hogan and then respectful Steve Austin and then like, I don't need to be here, Dwayne Johnson. Like, he doesn't really go by The Rock that much anymore. So it's just funny seeing like these three dudes in different spots in their like post-wrestling careers.
Yeah, The Rock did look surprisingly buff compared to those other guys, though.
I think he's like, after watching stuff on the WWE Network, he's bigger now than he was when he was a wrestler. And that's probably not natural, because that's not how human bodies work. So I'm pretty sure the nice flexible schedule of not being steroid tested for movies is like really helping him out right now.
That's probably true. I did think that it was like really weird that like they've been pumping up like this idea that Hulk Hogan was going to host WrestleMania for like months, like 2 months, and then when he got his big moment, they're just like, all right, let's send Hulk Hogan out there, and then like let's send out some two better guys to upstage him. And like that, like, it seemed kind of anticlimactic.
Yeah, but I think they knew that, like, I think after the first couple times he was on Raw, they're like, okay, this dude cannot, like, hold an audience.
Yeah, outside of him walking to the ring with his music playing, he's pretty boring.
Yeah.
Which is weird because he's one of the best parts of the Adult Swim show, China, Illinois. He does the voice of the dean on that show, and he's actually kind of engaging and great as that character, if anybody's seen that. So yeah, well,
he doesn't write his lines though. Somebody else writes them.
I would assume that somebody did for this too. You know, like unless he was very insistent, like, "No, brother, I got it, brother. I'm gonna wing it, brother."
Well, I guess his whole deal is he can't remember, like he can't remember scripts, and that is the problem with him speaking. Is that
I see.
He's like so old, and I'm sure you know, you fall on your head that many times, like. Start to lose your marbles a little, so.
Well, you know, so I mean.
So I think they give him a script, and he just immediately forgets it, and he's just like starts talking about whatever.
But since the future is now, well, at least in like, you know, Silicon Valley, he could probably convert those sunglasses that he always wears to the ring into Google sunglasses.
Yep.
And then just read them like that. He'd be like incredibly eloquent for once.
Then he would
get. And another thing. Let's talk about this. Yeah.
He would get beat up by CM Punk then, though, if he was wearing Google Glass.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like that San Francisco thing.
Oh, yeah, the punk bar. Yeah, CM Punk is at every punk bar now, so since he's not wrestling.
Yeah. So the first half hour of WrestleMania was just dudes chatting and talking about how great they are. And then Daniel Bryan versus Triple H happened. And I was trying to avoid Twitter this whole day. But I saw that this was starting, and I immediately knew that it was, like, since it was the first match, that Daniel Bryan would win, because that would give him sufficient time to rest before the last match.
Yeah.
But, and it also seemed like, you know, kind of a foregone conclusion anyway. But what did you guys think about this? Did you feel that there was any way that Daniel Bryan would lose?
No, definitely not. Like, that would have been dumb. But yeah, I thought the match, it was probably like the best match of the night, like the best, oh, maybe the second best, because I think the main event was probably the best, but, yeah, it was a really good match. I think, Triple H always tries to make himself look good when he wrestles because he always has to be like the center of attention. So I think he did a really good job of wrestling. So people weren't like, oh, Daniel Bryan carried him through that match, because that would, and make him look like a loser. Triple H does not like looking like a loser. So I thought that helped in them having like a really good match.
I think the crowd was behind it too. There were a couple "this is awesome" chants going. And now that's like the pinnacle of when they're doing something right in the ring. Like everybody can get behind it, from people who buy into storylines to people who are analytical about it and are just kind of engage on other levels. So yeah, I liked it.
You found it to be awesome.
That was awesome. Yeah. if we were watching it currently, I might say this is awesome, but yeah, when it happened, it was awesome. What about you? What was your takeaway from it? Were you like, all right, this is going to be an awesome night, or is like, this is the only good thing to happen tonight? Probably.
I knew that there was going to be more awesome stuff because of Bray Wyatt. But so I was like still excited after this match, but I thought it was a pretty good match. I thought that this match and then also the Undertaker match, they got too quickly into the stage of a wrestling match where they're like so tired and can't move. I thought that was weird. Like usually that happens at like the 20-minute mark or the 15-minute mark, but like it seemed like 3 minutes into this they were at that stage. But it was still a pretty good match. And Daniel Bryan is a fun guy. He's got a cool beard.
Yep.
And Triple H had the best entrance I think I've ever seen in my entire life. It was so metal.
Didn't he come out once with like a Lemmy mustache and like a Viking robe once?
Yeah,
that had to be the most metal. This one was like a rave, wasn't it?
He had a bunch green it was lasers. Like Conan. He had like the gold skull mask on and he like took it off.
That previous one, this one, he's just coming out to like green lasers. He was like at a Laser Floyd show or something.
No, he had like the Conan throne and everything set up, and he had like lasers too. I think he had also green lasers, so he had both.
Yeah,
that's very confusing to me.
It was the best of both worlds,
I guess. Yeah, Viking raves.
Yeah, it's always it was like really weird because it was like so totally metal. Like he came out on that throne and like he had like the Willow mask, the bad guy from Willow. And and then like his normal Motorhead song started, and then he came out to the green lasers and like spit up all the water.
All the water. I enjoy that they have this, I know we talked about this briefly on the show before, but like this corporate and authority idea, and that's how they refer to themselves, and they're always wearing suits. And then when they get out to wrestling, it's like, nah, you just use my regular entrance stuff. So it's like, I'm talking like booking and deals and all this stuff, and I'm wearing a suit. But when I'm going to wrestle, yeah, give me the Conan mask and the throne. And then they're like corporate Kane's like, I'm going to wear these Dockers, but flames, right? And that creepy organ music. Yeah. Yeah, that seems to fit pretty well.
You think that Kane and Triple H should just come out wearing like Dockers with like classical music or something?
I mean, well, like at no least music. Kane.
Yeah, Kane wears the Dockers and the dress shoes, and it makes him look like a dad in the ring. It just he looks like an angry dad that's gonna.
gonna
beat you. And like it's weird because his name is Kane and he has like fire powers, so it's just like they need to maybe drop that. Just call him like Jim or something.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like I mean. Hunter Hearst Helmsley is still kind of dumb for a name, but it at least sounds like a name, whereas it's like, no, I'm a one name guy named Kane, and it's supposed to have a biblical bent to it. So, just call me that. That's how I'm going to sign off on contracts and shit when I'm fully clothed with a shirt.
Okay. What's up next, Parker?
Now the Shield happened, and this was something. Go ahead, Mr. Frisbee.
This is the shortest match of the night.
Yeah, that was kind of a letdown because there's only six matches on the on a 4-hour event, and somehow they still didn't have enough time to make that match more than like 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. Like there is very few matches on this, which I found shocking. Like usually it seems like there's tons of matches. I don't know. I think there's like in reality there's only like two or three more matches normally at WrestleMania, but yeah.
There is, but it's 4 hours for six matches seems like, I mean, that seems like an eternity.
That's
true. I mean, it moved along like really good, but it just seems like I can't believe one of those matches. Well, actually two of those matches because the Divas match was super short too. So there's like two matches under 10 minutes in a 4-hour time span, which is like means we watched a lot of promotional garbage in between all these matches.
That's true. A lot of commercials for that new cartoon where like John Cena is like a mechanic or something.
Yeah. Slam City.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think like I got up to like make a sandwich or something. And by the time I sat down, they were like on the finishing move spot. So I didn't even like.
Yeah. There's still some great commentary going on during this. I like to bring up that usually gets overlooked. The King had a line about this match. It's like, it was like a, what do you say? Like a marriage to Larry King. It's a really outdated joke.
This
is funny. It's like a wedding. This match was like a marrying Larry King. It's short. I ruined it. Fuck it.
Yeah.
It's short and anyway. It sucks.
Yeah, basically. It's like, you know, it's going to be painful, but at least it's short. That's what it was.
Yeah.
You had a second take.
Jerry Lawler's jokes are like so dated now, and they need to put him out the pasture, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think JBL has the chops yet.
What are you talking about? JBL is the greatest commentator ever in life.
You think he's the greatest wrestler ever?
He's the greatest wrestler. He's the greatest wrestler and he's the greatest commentator. He's the greatest podcast host. He's all the things you want him to be.
Oh, okay. That sounds pretty magical then.
He's great. So, he could do it by himself.
Okay.
I
don't see how it's possible, but he has a ways to go because he's obviously trying to do like a kind of like heel commentator, and I don't know, he kind of drops it every so often. So
it's because he's a reasonable man. He's multifaceted. He's a complex man. He's not just one
that relates. Like, what does that mean in relation to him like being a bad commentator?
Don't even worry about it, Mr. Frisbee. But yeah, I missed some of this match too because I wanted to fast forward through the stupid New Age Outlaws theme, and the Shield theme like interrupted their theme, so I missed a bit of this, or at least like a bit of like the themes and like people coming out and stuff. But I'm kind of glad it was like just a real quick squash match because the New Age Outlaws suck and they're like super super old.
Yeah.
They're even older than Batista, I think, which is like the most old a wrestler can be. So I would have like, if the Shield had like gone the distance with Billy Gunn, I think I would have like been pretty upset.
Yeah, is true. That's how a lot of people, I think that was their opinion on it, that they're glad it was like over super quick.
Yeah, I would have been like,
but I'm just like, the matches they had with the Wyatts on like the past pay-per-views were like so good that it was just like, I was like waiting for them to have another one of those matches, but I guess it was probably impossible anyways.
Yeah,
that last one, it was the 3-on-3 was really fun to watch.
Yeah.
That was a good one. That was one where they chanted, "This is awesome." That's how you can tell it's good.
Yeah, exactly. It was the pinnacle chant.
Mm-hmm.
So many times during that match, too. And I think later on in that pay-per-view, didn't they chant, like, bring back Wyatt or something? Or bring back whoever it was that was just out?
Probably.
Because it was, like, Lesnar and somebody else who was moving slow. Anyway, that was different. That was a different pay-per-view. The next thing on this pay-per-view was a clusterfuck inside a ring of 30 people just standing around for a few minutes and then a bell ringing and then chaos.
Yeah.
It was like, the Andre the Giant memorial match.
Yeah.
Something like that. Okay.
Yeah. When you're little, like, battle royals seem like the coolest idea ever. And they still, like, when you hear about them, you're like, that's such a cool idea. But in practice, though, they're just like pretty boring to watch if you're not 5 years old. But I mean, they always do a good job at the end once the ring clears out a lot, like with cool moves and stuff. And I was actually very surprised to see Cesaro win, because he's been one of my favorite wrestlers for a while, like before WWE. And it's just like he has been on like 2 years of a losing streak. And it's good to see that they're like actually going to do something with him. And he's not just going to be some bum. And it was pretty phenomenal watching him pick up the Big Show and just top rope, because that's probably pretty hard to do.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Speaking as like three probably non-fit guys, I'm sorry to speak for all of us here, but yeah, let's face it. It's we eat a lot of fast food, and that did look it looked great. And Big Show going over, I think at this point I was getting the signal like this might be a night of just like seeing out the old guard and bringing in new talent. Like officially, because that's how it seemed at this point.
It did seem like that, and I'm hoping it's not something like that was either a coincidence or something that they're gonna just like change their minds about in like 3 weeks. Because like it feels like that happens a lot in wrestling, where they're like, we're gonna introduce all these new guys, and then they panic and go back to just the old guys again. So hopefully this time it actually sticks.
Yeah. I remember WCW doing that and like losing their minds one time, and Billy Kidman was like main eventing for a while.
Yep.
So sometimes it backfires on you.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's pretty sweet. Cesaro was great. So watching him body slam Big Show was like super cool. He seems like the most ripped man, even though he's like kind of skinny and like svelte. And I appreciate that.
You appreciate svelteness.
Uh-huh. And I enjoy his Jason Statham haircut. I like that. I think that makes a man tough. But yeah, you're right, Mike. Like battle royals are like they're cool in theory, but like most of the time it's just like dudes like holding a guy on the top rope and like kind of pretending to try to get him over it. And
there was like, if you watch like the background of that match, like for most of the match, you could just see Goldust just like literally just standing there, not even doing anything, just standing.
It's a real bummer sometimes. And I think Kofi Kingston has basically found every loophole and done everything you can to make that like your feet can't touch the floor is lava rule. Like your feet can't touch the ground. Interesting.
And he still never wins any of them. So it's like, cool, dude, like you did all that for nothing because you still lost.
I think part of the reason why he keeps losing is that he has that like Alienware logo on his trousers. It's like a Rasta alien. It's an alien face with dreadlocks. And it might be like the logical contraption mascot or something, but it's not helping him win matches. It's a bad omen, I think.
You're now tuned into the Pod Awful channel. Pod Awful.
Bi-quarterly women's social club.
Dazed and Convicted.
Pool Party Radio.
Show Kane.
The Devil's Advocate.
The Projection Booth.
Awful Flips.
Pod Awful. Dot net.
Net.
you're receiving it? Going into this, I was like kind of worried for it because like it seems like they just did the Royal Rumble a couple months ago, and it seemed like this match was going to be the Royal Rumble without the most exciting part of the Royal Rumble, which is dudes coming to the ring every 2 minutes.
Yeah, knowing who's going to be next. I was going to say, like, that politicizing is pretty fun sometimes. It might be the only fun thing about it.
That's like the main fun part.
Sorry for coughing right in the microphone.
That's quite all right. And then also, like, this is kind of the match, like, for a long time, like, when I was still watching wrestling on the regular, like, the best part of WrestleMania was the Money in the Bank match, which now has its own pay-per-view. And, like, the best part of that is, like all the good wrestlers who weren't, like, the main eventers, you know, like, the actual good wrestlers would all get lumped into that Money in the Bank match. And that's kind of what this was, like, because Cesaro was there and actual good wrestlers, Alberto Del Rio, The Miz, a very good wrestler.
Christian
wasn't even there. I was so bummed.
Oh, you mean in the Battle Royal?
Yeah, yeah.
I think in the last Money in the Bank.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is where Christian would have been, though.
Yeah. He has a concussion. He's never coming back to wrestling. Bad news. Spoiler alert.
No, bad news. Barrett over here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry. I've got some bad news for you, Parker. He is not recovering from his concussion, and I don't think he's coming back. So I think you might have seen the last of Christian.
Oh, he'll be back.
When did he have the concussion?
I think like a week or two before WrestleMania.
Yeah, he'll be back. He'll be main eventing WrestleMania next year, I feel.
Yeah, okay.
It's almost his time to shine in life, I feel. But yeah, I don't know. He'll probably go to TNA, and then I'll have to watch that stupid garbage. Because I like Christian. I guess I'm the only person in the world who likes Christian.
I think they're going to re-sign him, but I think he's just going to be like a coach. He's just going to be like, you know, one of those guys that's around.
Yeah. To remind people of Edge and how good Edge is.
Yeah,
that's Christian's job now. Who else was in this match? A bunch of people I've never heard of. Wasn't it like that one guy, the guy who got eliminated first?
Yoshitatsu?
Yeah. I don't know who that guy is.
Yeah, he was in WWE like several years ago, and now he's just in NXT. But
that's sad. To get demoted to NXT, does that happen a lot?
They try not to, but Brodus Clay got demoted to NXT. He's in NXT again.
Oh, that's sad.
And, I mean, Mason Ryan, I don't know if you remember him, but he was like a wrestler in the WWE for a couple years, and he's been slumming in NXT for like 2 or 3 years now. So it's just like, so he's just some dude. I guess WWE has a new policy where if they sign you, they're not going to fire you until your contract is up because they don't want to like look bad in the public eye. So they have all of these like lingering wrestlers that they don't ever use that were in that battle royal because they're just waiting for their contracts to be up so they can let them go.
That's sad and depressing.
Yeah. So it's a very, very depressing, dark angle on that battle royal.
Yeah.
Yeah. The capitalization of wrestling. Yeah. I can only imagine like if they did bring in people like, well, was Ryback in that or any of the other people that they've been trying to push lately?
Well, Ryback was in the pre-show tag team match, so.
Oh, I see.
I mean, so is Cesaro, but they also wanted Cesaro to win, so they put him in the match.
And you were saying that Cesaro, like, you've been a fan of him longer than he's probably been in WWE? Was that what you were saying?
For, like, years and years, yeah.
What else has he done that's impressed you? Because all I know about him is that he swings people around, and he wears a beret.
The thing, like, and when he was in like the independent leagues and stuff, a lot of the dudes in indies are like way smaller than WWE guys, obviously, so like he was even more of a brute in like the indies because like he's a pretty big muscular dude, and I mean, he would do the swing, like I think he's done the swing to somebody supposedly like close to 100 times or something like that, like to smaller guys and stuff like that, and it's just his gimmick, he was kind of just like a douchey Swiss guy with like a ponytail back in the day. And he was supposed to be like super rich and stuff. And like, I don't know, I thought that was like a pretty sweet gimmick. And he looked like when he had a ponytail, he was still like kind of balding. So he just looked like such a sleazebag.
Man, that sounds sweet. I might have to check that out.
Would he like drive to the ring in an Audi with techno music blaring?
You can't do that in VFWs too much. You can't be driving to the ring. So.
It'd be great if he did, though. Just like some miniature version of it, like a power wheel or something.
Anybody listening or you guys want to look it up, his name used to be Claudio Castagnoli, and that was like his wrestling name before WWE.
Sounds rich.
Yeah.
Sounds like a guy who would definitely want to wrestle in VFW halls.
Yeah, what's in it for him at that point?
He likes to mock poor people. That's probably it.
Yeah. There's always plus sides to mocking poor people.
It elevates your ego or something.
Yeah. It helps you make more money, too. The next match was Cena versus Wyatt. I was super excited for this because I thought that like something would happen, that either John Cena, who like never loses a match, would like put over a young talent, or that John Cena would go through some sort of change in his gimmick, like it seemed like the storyline was going to like leading to. But then nothing happened, and it was also kind of like a boring match where nobody really wrestled. They just talked to each other. So I was kind of bummed out about this.
Yeah, I agree. I'm glad you said that, because I think a lot of people that like I've read on the internet actually enjoyed this match, and I am a dork when it comes to this stuff, so I check like the betting odds on this, and like all of like everybody thought Bray Wyatt was gonna win. And usually like it's wrestling, it's scripted, so usually if the odds are in the person's favor, they're gonna win because there's a script involved. But they must have changed it at the last second or something. But either way, yeah, it was just so dumb. Like, John Cena gains nothing from winning this match, and like Bray Wyatt would have been an even bigger thing if he won, and John Cena would not lost anything from it. And the whole thing where they were like, there's a war inside Cena's head, and like, why all of a sudden is John Cena having like this moral struggle in his head because of Bray Wyatt, the Swamp Man, is like in the ring with him? Like, he's just a dude. You're John Cena. Like, I don't know. It just kind of didn't work. Like, I don't know, man. Maybe if he had like kidnapped John Cena beforehand or did something to him, but like,
or kidnapped his dad, because his dad is at every event.
So yeah, if he kidnapped his dad. But yeah, I mean, there was just like, I don't know. And John Cena winning, and it's just like, yeah, it was just like, I don't know. I mean, I know they're never going to change his gimmick, and no, like, it's never going to make sense to us because we're not like younger women or like little children. So. It's just not a gimmick for us, and I understand they need that, so I'm fine with John Cena doing his thing, but, like, he needs to lose sometimes. Like, there is no reason for that, and, yeah, and it was just kind of a whatever match, so whatever.
What say you, Mr. Frisbee?
I'm actually kind of surprised. I thought you would have liked this, since I thought the entire dichotomy of it was kind of like a Batman and Joker face-off, where Bray Wyatt was being, like, very masochistic and trying to bring out like John Cena's sadistic side, and John Cena kind of like struggling with that, because that's most of like the Batman Joker storyline. So I'm like, oh, Parker probably likes this.
Yeah, I understand that, but I don't think John Cena is a good enough of an actor to pull that off either, and I think that's what the real problem was.
Yeah and also like to get there, Joker usually like shoots Barbara Gordon or like poisons a reservoir or something, and Bray Wyatt, like, he just put like a mask on John Cena one time.
Yeah, he did wrestling stuff to him. People do wrestling stuff to Cena all the time. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I guess that kind of goes with the PG rating. If this were Attitude Era, it'd mean like Undertaker kidnaps Stephanie McMahon.
Yeah,
a bunch of creepy shit. So here it's more of just like, it's those general mind games, and I don't know if it's as good as like what Goldust was doing with Razor Ramon back in the day.
Well, nothing.
Or even Undertaker, just like during that entire Dudes with Jobs, who also wrestle. At least he brought out like a casket, and that's kind of intimidating. The Wyatts had like a voodoo dancer beforehand, and a band that was wearing plague masks. And you know, I don't know. You can just get past that, I guess. So,
yeah, John Cena like literally didn't even have to watch that part.
No. Yeah, they like clear the stage. I've got my entrance to go through.
Yeah, but what do you guys think about this Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar stuff?
I was very surprised. That was another thing. Obviously, the odds were crazy in the Undertaker's favor, and I guess the deal was that no one really knew the finish. Like, even the referee didn't know the finish, which was why it was weird when he counted three and there was like a hesitation, and you're like, oh, did they screw up or something? But I've also been saying for like a month or two going into this match, like, I'm pretty sure the Undertaker's for real going to die in this match, because he's not like his body is not doing well. He's an old man, and like, yeah. You know, he's a tall old man, so he's like a Great Dane, where like, you know, your fucking body parts start to deteriorate quicker than a normal old man. And like, and he's been wrestling all these years, so I was just like, man, Brock Lesnar is like, there's like a legit chance he's gonna die in this match. So, and that's pretty much what happened throughout the match. Like, it was a bad, horrible match. Like, Undertaker had a concussion throughout the whole thing, I guess, and like couldn't remember anything. And yeah, it was pretty terrible, but it doesn't matter because like the shock, and of course the black kid's face like after the match is like anything anybody's ever gonna remember about this match. So the actual match didn't matter. It was like an amazing moment, and I'm pretty sure that means it's the Undertaker's last match because I don't know why else he would lose. And that's cool that he was cool enough to lose, but. There's like so many DVD sales they could have probably made, making like the streak DVD of just like all of his things, and now it's like ruined. So good on them for doing it.
Oh, and don't worry. Those DVDs will still come out.
Yeah.
They'll be like The Undertaker. No one will compare. Jerry Lawler's like, this will never be duplicated. That's still gonna exist. And it'll be like, and the final match that broke it all. So your DVD's on the way. It's in the mail.
But yeah, so like the match sucked, but the moment was worth it. So it's just like all those old Hulk Hogan matches, like Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant's not a very good match, but no one, like, it's just because for the body slam at the end. So it's the same deal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought it was weird. Like I knew going in what happened because I resigned myself to not checking Twitter because I was at work, but I got a tweet, an @tweet from somebody. So I checked it. From Sammy, a sweet dude. And I was like, well, nobody's going to tweet me spoilers to WrestleMania. He's probably just saying, you know, sup. And he was like, hey, man, congratulations on winning in the Fantasy League. Also, Undertaker. And I was like, no. So it was bittersweet because I did win in our Fantasy League. But then I got spoiled. But even still knowing the outcome, I still thought it was like a botch or something weird, because usually when a guy wins, they go 1, 2, 3, and then the music hits, and the music did not hit for like 3 or 4 full minutes after the outcome. So I was like, this is either a botch or like something weird's going on. Like, what is this? Is Undertaker dead? Like, it seemed weird.
But... I think that delay even adds to the gravitas for people who, you know, are taking the perspective that, you know, we're not buying into the storyline where they're just like, wait, this is what's going on here. And as Mike was saying, it's funny that there was not that communication with everybody to tell them like, this is how it's going to go down. And also having Bret Hart sitting in front row to watch it. And he was probably also confused. He's like getting flashbacks of Montreal and, what the fuck, him too. So
everybody's getting screwed over.
Everybody get screwed.
Then the AJ Lee match happened after that, which was a good way to, I guess, build the momentum from the most important thing that's ever happened in WrestleMania.
I think everybody would need a breather. And...
Yeah, they need to cool everybody off. That's why they put those lady matches there.
Yeah. Did you guys care about this at all? I think AJ Lee rules. I think she's probably like in the top 3 best wrestlers in the WWE, which is... probably a weird sentiment maybe, but I think she's very entertaining and good at wrestling.
What I've seen of her, I think she's great. I mean, her when she actually does wrestle, like her entire heel turn is to, you know, not get caught in a corner or anything. But the way that match finished, I thought was actually kind of fun and interesting. Her kind of ferreting around that other wrestler. Like, she wasn't on the ground at all. She was like on the shoulders and around the waist. It was pretty wild to watch. And then when she gets her submission move and manipulated that person's hand to tap out, that was funny. That was good heel stuff, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't watch this stuff. I did something else.
What'd you do?
I think I went to have a cigarette or something, or got a drink. But like, yeah, I like Emma, that mm-hmm. diva, that lady wrestler. But I like her from NXT. Like, I think they they just called her up to WWE and made her retarded, which was not like, because there's only like, if you really think about it, like if you really boil it down, there's only like six or seven like groups of gimmicks you could have in WWE. And one is dancing and another one's retarded. And like, so there's just like the subtle nuances of her gimmick in NXT are just like kind of taken out. But I think she's like a way better wrestler, but it's just like, even when like I was like, oh, it's going to be cool because she's in WWE now. But it's like the way they make the lady matches, it's like so hard to pay attention or care about them because it's just like they wrestle for 45 seconds. And like it's just it's so like, you know, it's so fake and bad. And half of them are really horrible at wrestling. It's just it's not like I always zone out. So I did not pay attention. I do like AJ, though. I do think that octopus hold she does is pretty sexy. I'm just going to say it right up front.
It does showcase her butt prominently.
Yeah, so.
But yeah, the lady matches are always like the best source of horribly botched matches. So yeah. They're fun for that reason too, to be like, "Oh, this is where that lady's ankle breaks." You know, this is where their skull breaks. Beware. And then the main event happened with Daniel Bryan and Batista and Randy Orton, who are like the two most overlooked. Like, I feel like your main event's probably going to fail pretty hard if like you can't remember two of the dudes in the main event. But they turned it out. It was pretty good. They were chanting about how it was awesome.
Yeah, I think.
Go ahead.
No, yeah, they were chanting, "Oh, this is awesome." No, I think when they
oh no.
Uh oh.
We can finish up this.
Okay.
Timer
we'll finish up super quick.
Yeah.
I just think like, you know, WWE, they're a really busy company. I don't think they have time to like check out pop culture and stuff like that, obviously. And they are just stuck in like a time warp where they thought Batista was still like a cool guy. Like, and I think they just put too much stake in him. And Randy Orton is still kind of that gimmick, but he's like a holdover. Like he's been wrestling this whole time. But like bringing Batista back is like, like, it's not cool to, like, have a tribal belly button tattoo and, like, come out to, like, some, like, you know, like, second-rate new metal band song. And it's just, like, that stuff's not cool anymore. So I'm glad. I mean, you know, obviously the original plan was to bring him back and have him win the title, which would have been fucking horrible. So I'm glad they changed their minds. And I thought the match was really good. And the most brutal part, like, I'm sure you guys noticed, is when they did that like crazy move and Randy Orton landed on his back, like right on that fucking TV thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Cut it up pretty bad.
Yeah. Yeah, that was like so brutal. Like, I'm surprised he was fine from that. But yeah, I thought that match was pretty sweet. And of course, it's awesome to see the Daniel Bryan confetti celebration and all that stuff.
I liked, and I mentioned those tables that, I mean, of course, it's the Spanish language table that gets busted up. But as Batista and Orton are dismantling it, the Spanish commentators are pointing at the new French table that was present. Like, use that one. God, stop breaking our seats. But yeah, I thought this match was also fun. I totally forgot that Batista was in it. Like, I was reading reviews of Raw and stuff, or trying to find like where the storylines were at, and it completely slipped my mind that Batista was back here. And what is going on with that tribal belly button tattoo? What does that mean?
I don't know, man. You just look at all of his tattoos and they're all basically like what a 16-year-old girl would get. And it's like a 16-year-old girl in like 2003 on top of it. Not even like, you know, from now. So it's just like, I forgot, like, there's some like crazy shit going on in his back too, and his biceps, like, I forget what they say, but they say something like super fruity. Like, it's just like, I don't know, man, he just has bad, horrible taste.
Yeah,
he's clothes too. Yeah, so
he's got a whole back
clarify
piece.
That the front is definitely like a 16-year-old girl's idea of tattoos, whereas the back is like a Yakuza sort of back tattoo. I mean, it's just there's no skin left, and yeah, it's a contradiction. It's weird.
Well, his whole back piece is like roses and flowers and stuff. Like, at least that's what it looks like. I don't know, not very tough. And yeah, I don't know. I think that like WWE just like got like super full of themselves after The Rock came back, and they're like, we can bring anybody back as long as they've been in a movie, and it will be sweet. Even senior citizen Batista, who's who was in like The Chronicles of Riddick 3 for 10 minutes.
He looks more of a tired dad than Kane does. Like, Kane actually looks like he's got some years left doing this, but Batista, like, the way he squints and he pulls his face back, he's like, too hot to mow today.
This is not my joke. I'm stealing this from With Leather, but he looks like a fucking, like, a roided up Hans Molman.
I was saying Batista. Oh, speaking of, did anybody see that Vote Quimby sign in the audience? It was really good.
No, I did not.
Somebody did a really excellent marker drawing of Mayor Joe Quimby from The Simpsons, and it just said Vote Quimby on it.
That's pretty good.
Tickled me.
Well, that's all of WrestleMania.
Yep.
In addition,
I thought it was really good, even though like I was down on most of the matches. I thought it was still better than the last couple, so...
Yeah, I don't think I've watched one in a while. I think the last one I watched was the one where The Miz main evented and won, which I'm sure the WWE is probably like going to try to forget even existed at some point.
Yes, yes, they are. I'm pretty sure they've already trying to erase that bad moment. And that match ended in like a disqualification or something, which never happens. So, like, it was so bad.
Yeah, I think that's the last one I watched. So this is definitely better than that, probably. Even though I do like The Miz, I think he's funny. A lot of big stuff happened at this one, which you don't usually get. Like, you don't usually get surprising things at WrestleMania because, like, they just kind of, like, try to give people what they want, I think, at Mania more than any other pay-per-view. So that was cool.
The one thing that they usually have that they didn't have this year is they usually have some kind of celebrity match going on, and they didn't do that, which... Every time it happens, I'm like, oh, this is stupid. But I will admit I kind of missed that this year.
Yeah. It's always the part I look forward to least. But yeah, I was like kind of wondering like why they didn't. Like, wasn't the last one like Maria Menounos versus like AJ Lee or some underwhelming thing?
Like, they couldn't. That's the one they always fall back on if they can't get anybody else. But I mean, they had Snooki that year.
Oh, yeah.
They had Floyd Mayweather was pretty sweet, but that was like years ago.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, it was strangely absent this year. I guess they've considered Batista to be that celebrity.
Yeah. They also...
I know nothing about that Guardians of the Galaxy movie, but in my mind, I'm assuming he's not like a huge role in that movie. He can't be.
Yeah, I don't think he has much speaking parts in it. I mean, I think Vin Diesel as Groot might have more speaking lines, and it's just the phrase, I am Groot, that he's going to be saying over and over again.
Yeah, I definitely think Batista is going to be billed under... the talking tree and the talking raccoon.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, so I wouldn't go parading him around that hard then. Like, it's not, I don't know, whatever. That's a conversation for another day, guys.
We'll talk about it another day. Because I do think they're going to have to try their hardest to make him a baby face before that movie comes out.
Yeah, and that's like in a few months, so.
Yeah, because you can't be like, hey, go see my movie, and I hate everybody in the crowd, you're all terrible, you know? But that would be a cool gimmick. I would check that out, I guess.
I was going to say about the John Cena thing, too. Like, he just got recognized as granting the most Make-A-Wish Foundation wishes of anyone. So it would be funny to see him go extremely sadistic and try to break somebody's leg or something like that. Yeah.
That's why he doesn't ever become a bad guy, because he can't, because he has the most wishes ever. So.
Yeah. How could you do that to that legacy and be like, wait, isn't this the guy who took a razor to somebody's face or brought back hardcore wrestling? I don't want to deal with this.
Yeah.
I don't want to be my kid.
Yeah. The day after John Cena turns heel, like 75,000 cancer kids like die instantly or something from shock.
Right. Yeah. It's all just weighing on him.
They were all just so shocked and saddened that their hero gave in to his mean urges or whatever Bray Wyatt was trying to make him do.
Yeah, I don't know.
Man. Well, in addition to The Undertaker losing his streak, we've lost our streak of emails, so there's no emails this week. An even more important streak, I feel.
Yeah, but people can email us at poolpartyradio@gmail.com, and we prefer it, because we're kind of lazy. We need your ideas, too.
Mm-hmm. We need to talk about what you want us to talk about.
like restaurants or, I don't know. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Or Shelby Cobras.
Mm-hmm. Or Shelly Koalas.
Mm-hmm. So there's that. And also there's Kissing Contest.
That's right. And if you didn't get enough of me talking about WrestleMania on this podcast, let me tell you guys something. It's going to happen again on Kissing Contest this week. I don't know if we're going to generally just talk about WrestleMania, but we've decided that there's way too much wrestling newsy stuff that happened this week because obviously the Ultimate Warrior died and Raw was pretty eventful too. So we're going to have a big old wrestle chat on Kissing Contest this week. But regularly, if you don't know what Kissing Contest is, it's usually a podcast about movies and television and sweet boys. So if you're into that stuff, check out Kissing Contest at kissingcontestpodcast.com or just search Kissing Contest on iTunes.
It's also a podcast about getting frosted.
It has. We've entered the frosty era.
like getting your hair tips frosted?
Yeah.
Is that what you mean? Like that sounds like some sweet boys are doing. Oh, I see.
And we've entered the era, which everybody says is a good era of Kissing Contest. So you have a chance to get in on the golden frosted era of Kissing Contest if you start listening now. And we did a Reality Madness episode, which was this week. So that's always a very popular episode where we find out which reality show is making America the saddest. So check that out, too.
Yeah, those are always good episodes. And also, I think Junk Food Dinner might be stealing your March Madness brackets idea.
Yeah, I listen to that, but you don't have to worry about stealing it because I think everybody on Earth has done this gimmick. So it's not... I mean, I stole it from somebody, too. And, you know, I'm such a hypocrite because I hate when Grantland does it, actually. I think there's a really, like, I don't know, they're really pandering sometimes.
And, yeah, it's just a listing to, like, remember all these things? Well, here's what we think are the best.
Yeah, exactly.
And we'll just make it win.
I'm glad somebody agrees with me because they really tick me off. But here I am doing one every year myself. So it's just like...
Yeah, I've only checked out one of Grantland's, but it did seem... Like it was like the best part twos in movie history and like Empire Strikes Back one and obvious. Like no need to even do this. Like that's the acceptable winner.
Right. It's either like, you know, if you've been under a rock, it's information that you may not have heard, but mostly it's just clickbait. It's like when Deadspin does like 50 best food stuff. It's like you're a sports news feed. Why are you talking about best foods across the United States? This is... I'm especially bitter at that one because Cincinnati's Skyline Chili made 51, which they put below getting hit by a car.
Is also a conversation for another day, but I had Skyline Chili over the Super Bowl.
Finally.
Yeah.
Did you talk about it? Or?
No, but I mean, I guess it was decent, but I didn't grow up with it, so I could understand. Like, it just tasted like decent fast food chili, I guess.
Yeah, this sounds all right. Did you have the Coney's or the three-way?
Oh, I don't know. One of our friends was from Cincinnati originally, and she had imported it to our Super Bowl party. So,
did you put it on hot dogs or spaghetti?
Hot dogs.
All right.
That's the good way.
You know, she made a dip out of it. She made like a chili dip out of it.
Oh, yeah. That's also very famous in Cincinnati areas. People make that Skyline dip. Well, she did the right thing then for... WrestleMania party. It's awesome.
That's good stuff. Also good stuff is check us out at poolpartyradio.com. All the episodes are there. New episodes will be out on Monday from now on. I have a new job and our schedule is weird. So Mondays. Just like Raw. Listen to us after Raw. Because we'll probably recap the previous Raw from now on. Also check us out on iTunes and listen to Junk Food Dinner and things like that.
Don't forget to rate and review on iTunes. We'll read your reviews on the air as we do with emails. Mm-hmm. We like that kind of stuff. It keeps our gears spinning.
Yeah. So. I pray to God you leave us an iTunes review and let us know if you want Robo from Rotten Rantings to talk about Paranormal Activity, because I think he should do that. Because it would please me personally.
You know, instead of that, you should have him talk about A Haunted House, because I just watched that last night, and it's the Wayans version of the Paranormal Activity, and it's probably as good, so you should check it out.
So Haunted House 2 is coming out in like 3 months then?
It's coming out, well, that's what prompted me to watch A Haunted House 1, is because the new one's coming out this month.
Oh, and, okay.
There's I've seen two different trailers for it, and there is so much racial humor just in the trailers where I was like, this racial humor is horrifying. And there's no a lot of racial humor in the first one. It's just pretty much a direct Paranormal Activity ripoff. As funny, too, probably. It's not very funny.
Yeah. After you guys talked about the trailer for that movie, I watched it. And yeah, it was just a bunch of guys running up to Mexican dudes and be like, hey, I got a ghost. Please help me. And then him going, after I mow everybody's lawn or some stupid crap like that.
It's really bad.
Yeah. The entire cast and crew of Blazing Saddles is crying. It's like, this isn't how we did it.
We did it better in a smart way. But all right. This is Parker for Mike Dick from Kissing Contest and Jason Razorman Frizzman saying thanks for having fun.
This one goes out to my real close friend and buddy, Kurt Hennig, a.k.a. Mr. Perfect. Just want to let you know that you're missed, but you'll never be forgotten. You've always been an incredible friend. We just want you to know that we got your back, party system style, from the Macho Man, Randy Savage. Hey, Kurt, we miss you, but we know you're in a better place. It's kind of hard as time goes on and I don't see your face. So I'm clinching and I'm holding on to memories. Remember the times rolling strong, just you and me. It's real hard sometimes to keep it going day to day. But I know you wouldn't want it any other way. So I keep it moving, doing what I gotta do. And as a tribute, I'm dedicating a song to you.
You are my perfect friend.
You were my perfect friend
until we meet again. Can't explain this thing. Never feel like this. Mess so perfect, don't you know that you'll be true?
You know you
were my perfect friend right there until the end. I'm forever missing you until we meet again. Can't explain this thing. Never feel like this. Mess so perfect, don't you know that you'll be true?
Mr. Perfect's the name, it'll never be forgotten. As long as Macho's around, I'ma keep your spot in wrestling history, cause you were all about perfection. It's not a mystery that wrestling was the right selection, cause you were one of the best, very high on my list. Not just in the ring, but out of the ring, you're dearly missed. But your name lives on, we carry on your legacy, cause the passion that you left with us lives on in me.
Mr. Perfect, don't you know that you'll be true to me? You were my perfect friend, right there until the end. I'm forever missing you until we meet again. Can't explain this pain, never felt like this. Mr. Perfect, don't you know that you'll be true to me?
You remember Mr. Perfect? He was always in command. His greatness was so obvious that all could understand. He brightened up a locker room. He made the time go by. He had personality, gregarious, not shy. He really was perfection, but now he's gone away. We're lucky to have known him, and we'll miss him every day. Mr. Perfect.
Forgotten, no.
You were my perfect
you friend. You were
right
my friend.
I'm forever missing you until the end. Can't explain this pain. Never felt like
I
this.
Can't explain this pain. I'm feeling this.
You were my perfect friend.
There was no one.
I'm forever missing you until we meet again. Can't explain this pain. Never felt like this.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?